resource, or they actually promoted using offline storage like USB drives and that locally, so that if your machine is encrypted, because what happens if you have a, say you have a USB drive and you're backing all your photos and your data off to this USB drive, all your porn, and that USB drive is plugged in when your machine gets infected and encrypted, that drive, that USB drive as well, can be encrypted as well. So if it's plugged into the machine, chances are you might lose it. So backing up to a USB drive and unplugging that USB drive and keeping it somewhere safe is a major step in helping with something like this. In case you do get infected, you can say, ah, forget it, I'll wipe the machine and recover from a backup.
Why is my phone receiving calls both with St. Louis numbers, Missouri numbers, U.S. numbers, and occasionally out-of-the-country numbers, where they call and I answer my phone and it is 2 to 3 seconds of silence and then they are hanging up? What are they trying to get out of me? Are they trying to get me onto a network of, you know, I'm a human being that answers phones, or that I'm not a computer? Why is this happening? Because it's happening to me all the time.
Have you seen an increase in it recently?
Oh, I don't know about an increase, but it happens to me daily.
Interesting.
Daily.
So the theory has been that those people or those services are calling your number to see if a human picks up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they know that that is a good phone number, and then they sell that phone number off to telemarketers or other idiot, you know, the IRS is coming for you kind of people. The best thing you could do is, if you don't know the number or if it's not in your contacts, don't answer it. And I realize there are situations for people that that doesn't always work. You have to answer unknown
phone calls. I answer every call I get,
because
I get random calls for business all the time.
Sure,
I never know who's called, so I answer it every time.
Yeah. I don't know that there's really a way around that for you, considering you have to answer the phone. I mean, you have to.
I always wondered when they say don't answer the phone, because if you answer the phone, they know that that's a good number, and then they'll sell it off. But would they find out it's a good number if it goes to voicemail?
In theory, but how many of you guys actually have your voicemail? Well, Tim, you probably do. Have your voicemail set up?
I've got my voicemail set up.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I can't tell you last time I set up my voicemail.
Oh, you said a computerized voice version?
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know that it honestly picks up. I can't tell you last time I've checked my voicemail on my cell phone.
All right.
Whoa. Yeah. So that was a really good segment. They have it on their website, on CBS's website. If you want to go back, I think it's like 3.5 minute segment. It has some decent input from the FBI and these different experts. The interesting thing, I think it was the city of Atlanta, right before the Super Bowl, fell subject to a ransomware attack. And they were up a creek. A lot of their systems, most of their computer systems at the city of Atlanta, were down while they were trying to prep for the Super Bowl. And then now that would be a nightmare type scenario.
I wonder if they ended up paying.
I don't think they did.
Oh.
I don't think they did. Most of these places have gotten to the point where they have pretty good backups, and they're able to restore stuff from backup.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to hog Josh this entire hour if callers don't want to call in. Here's the numbers. Josh is our tech guy. He has the answers to all your tech questions. Really a smart guy, and has a lot of ways for you to improve your TV watching skills, your TV technology, or your cell phone, or any kind of electronic device you may have within your realm. Those numbers again, 855-282-8255, 855-282-TALK, or 314-821-0590. You can also text the show on our 855 line. Again, the text number is 855-282-8255. Every day.
Yes.
Every day, my internet goes down at 1 o'clock. I spent 51 minutes on hold with AT&T U-verse about a week ago and complained about the NFL network not being shown. They ended up taking a bunch of money off my bill, by the way. I don't know if you heard that.
I don't think so.
I got a $50 per month discount plus $5 off my home phone line. They gave me a $660 discount on NFL draft day because I complained that they no longer had a contract with the NFL network and the NFL Red Zone Sunday ticket. So above and beyond that, legitimately, my internet goes down every day at 1 o'clock. And so I'm like, why? Why is this happening? And they're like, well, you know, let's run some diagnostic tests. Well, your modem was that modem is from 2014.
Yeah.
We'll FedEx you out a new modem. They FedEx me out a new modem. UPS sends me a notice saying your modem has been delivered to your house. I get on the front. I get home that night and a porch pirate stole my modem.
Are you kidding me?
Can you believe that? Well, how else could that? There's no other explanation.
Wow.
There's no other explanation that somebody got, or that they delivered it to the wrong house.
Yeah, now that could be, too. So, did FedEx drop it off with the Postal Service, or?
It was UPS.
Oh, okay.
It was UPS that did it, so that was, that was, but anyway.
I said anyone.
A half a Bernese.
It was like three quarters. I would.
That's not it.
Yeah, so hey, Dan no, gave the approval.
Hey, Dan, if it's three quarters in, buddy, it ain't all the way in. I'm just telling you.
More than that.
Okay. This ain't put the tip in sound effect. This is full throttle sound effect radio, okay?
Wow.
And I did not say the A in the word any that rhymes with J.
Well, you can try it, and you can try and do Bernice saying any what. You can try that and see.
All right. Okay.
That's pretty close.
Shut up, Bernice. Let me look.
So I know Charter, okay, back to your, I almost said it, back to your porch pirate thing. I'm surprised you don't have cameras, or at least a smart doorbell.
I do, and nothing was there.
Oh, interesting.
Nothing was there, so I don't know if they got it on the porch, or, you know, because the
yeah.
I don't know who got it.
I wonder, got it. That's how I proved that the Postal Service had not delivered a package to our house at Christmas. Mm-hmm. We got a delivery notification that there was a package waiting, and I looked, and Postal Service hadn't been there, so I was able to argue with them and tell them they delivered it to the wrong house. So cameras can work both ways, either catching porch pirates or catching the post office not delivering it, right?
All right, we have a line open, and we have callers all ready to go. 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. Josh Bauman, Tech Talk is the segment. Steve is up first on 590 The Fan. Steve, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
First off, let's go Blues. Come on.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, let's go get up in the play. Get up in the play defense in the first two periods. God,
they smothered them.
Hey, and next, restore my computer. It's an older computer. I think it's, about 6 years old.
Oops.
Can I restore it back to factory, and how do I do that?
Yeah, you can. There might be the recovery image. When you're booting the computer, you'll have a couple series that you can press one of the F keys, like F10, F2, F12, or the common ones.
Okay.
And that'll boot you into recovery. If the machine has a recovery image on the drive, if not, you're probably up a creek. But more chances than not, it will have a recovery image on the drive itself.
Okay. About the only thing I do with it, I still have AOL Mail. I look up my mail, and then it's so hard on my phone to Google stuff. About all I do is just do my mail and Google. What's a cheap computer, and what do they run?
Man, I tell you, if all you're doing is web surfing, I would look strongly at a Chromebook. It's not a quote unquote real computer. You're not going to be able to install apps on it, but you can surf all day long on it. It's what most school districts are using for student use. You'll log into it with your Gmail account. You'll be able to check your AOL email on it, no problem. You'll be able to get on Facebook, no problem. Instagram, no problem. So if all you're wanting to do is web surf, I would really look at a Chromebook. You're looking at probably $200, $250. If you want to go high end, you can spend $800. I think that's a little bit ridiculous. You should be able to pick one up for $200 all day long.
Now, is that plug-in just similar? Does it have a tower or whatever you call it?
Yeah, it'll have an AC
and a screen.
Yeah, it'll look just like a regular laptop. It'll have a screen, a keyboard built into it. It'll have a power adapter. Most of them have HDMI outputs on them, so you could hook it up to a TV if you wanted to. It'll do anything a laptop can do, except for you cannot install software on it. It's only web-based applications.
Okay, and then now you might. It's just a laptop. Now, how do I hook it up to my? All I have is a landline. I live out, and I'm plugged into AT&T. Is that feasible doing it that way?
You have
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it'll work on Wi-Fi, no problem.
Okay. Chromebook.
Yep,
okay.
Chromebook. Yep, you can get them at Walmart, Best Buy, any of the big electronic retailers.
Perfect. All right.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Steve, thanks for the call. 855-282-8255. Lines just opened up because Limey just hung up on Steve. 855-282-8255. Kent is up next with Josh Bauman. Hi, Kent.
Hey, everybody. AM and the PM.
Hey, Kent.
I got out of the car for a few minutes, but I heard the beginning of the discussion with your issue with people making calls on your in silent and what else not.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know what the discussion was, but I deal with IT security myself, and part of that is people will try to get you to say yes or no, and then they use that for credit card fraud because they want a voice activation, and they use your voice. But one thing that helps with, at least for us, we've got caller ID. It was, to me, it's worth the expense to get caller ID, but on our home phone, our phone greeting basically says, hello, this is huh, and this is huh, you know, my wife and I, and we have caller ID. So if you're a scam artist, a politician, or a telemarketer, you might as well hang up. If you're a family or friend or anyone else, please leave a message. And that usually by the time they get to, we have caller ID, and if you're a scam artist, click.
Right. Yeah.
So that usually works for us to at least eliminate the calls in the recording.
Years ago, people were using that, getting you to say yes and no for, what was that called? Was that called cramming whenever they would get long distance added to your phone bill without your consent, but they were recording your, recording you saying yes. It's either cramming or slamming. I forget the acronym.
I think it was
for
slamming.
But it's been around for a while, yeah.
Yeah, that it goes in waves.
Yeah.
Well, there's another one I heard yesterday where people are getting calls from out of the country and they're not answering the call, and what people are doing is they're not answering the number, but then they're calling back.
Oh yeah.
And by calling them back, there's some type of service fee that they're paying that another company has, gets a piece of that.
Sure.
I didn't really understand the money on that.
I remember if you call international, you're going to get dinged extra for calling international and international minutes, the whole thing. So I do know that there are extra fees and stuff associated to that. So they might be calling from a carrier that they're getting a kickback from or something like that. Kent, you have anything else?
Yes. Well, non-related question. I heard the throat clearing fart.
Oh yeah.
Sequence. What triggers that?
I clear my throat apparently in excess, and Limey likes to make fun of me for that.
Yeah,
I couldn't figure out what was the sequence that would trigger that, but frankly, unless it's me, I don't hear you clearing your throat.
Well, thank you.
Just listen to the rest of the show. He'll do it about six more times.
Don't you worry. Yeah. We'll get him.
We go through a whole bottle of Febreze every time he gets in here in the 4 o'clock hour. It's awful.
We hear it. That's all that matters.
Dan, I just got a text.
You guys are brutal.
Ken, thanks for your phone call.
Kent.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right, Dan, can you call Mr. Landoff? I just got a text from him asking if you're going to call him.
Ah, yes.
So I get on that, buddy.
I will.
There we go.
That's fine. Well, I guess we'll talk to John Landoff today.
Let's talk to maybe Larry or Mike first.
Sure.
Well, let's see who's been on the longest.
Larry.
All right, Larry is up on 590 The Fan. You're on with Josh Bauman. Hi, Larry.
I'm AM and a PM.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Larry.
My question is, I'm trying to plug my phone to my TV, but it say I got to have an MHL, but I don't have an MHL on my TV.
MHL?
Yeah, through my HDMI.
I don't know. I've never...
Are you saying the word M is in Mary, H is in Harry, L is in Larry, MHL?
Yeah.
Interesting. What kind of phone is it, Larry?
Android.
And you have an HDMI, I'm assuming, an HDMI to probably mini USB or micro USB connected to your phone. Normally those just pop up, display straight to the TV.
Do you, Larry, you know when you are trying it, when you've got that input setting on your phone, have you tried taking that? Because sometimes, like nowadays on the newer TVs, you'll have, you know, input one, input two, TV, but also have like the little HDMI setting. So if you got like an HDMI 1, HDMI 2, if you do that, you should be able to put it onto the right channel for the TV ports that you're using. Have you tried that at all?
Ooh. Yes, I tried that.
Huh. Then I am at a loss for words, man. I don't know why. It should be mirroring like the second you get it up there. It should work fine.
Interesting. MHL looks to be a protocol. Is it a Samsung phone?
It's an Android LG.
Oh, it's an LG. Okay.
Hmm.
About
3 years old.
Yeah, there's another. Apparently this is a type of cable, MHL cable. I wonder if that's...
Describe it.
That's just what they're called. It looks like it's a micro USB to HDMI, so I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I got the mic. I had the micro plugged into the input.
Yeah, and that sounds like that's how it would work. Larry, what I'll probably do is I'll research this. Give me an email. Shoot me an email at joshtechadvice@gmail.com, and I'll see if I can dig into it.
And I am the AM in the PM.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Give your email out again, Josh.
joshtechadvice@gmail.com.
All together, joshtechadvice@gmail.com. Larry, thanks again for your call. It is that time in the 4 o'clock hour on Mondays when we talk cars. And none other than maybe the biggest hockey fan / car aficionado in the St. Louis market, who I'm sure is in an excellent mood today. Please welcome into the program, Johnny Londoff.
Oh, I can't do the applause.
What happened?
There we go. No.
What happened?
What? He's got more fans than Bill Cleveland.
Yeah, I know. No, the machine's messing up here. But we've got Johnny on now right now. I'm going to try and reset this and fix it.
Johnny, Limey muted all your fans. I'm sorry.
Hello? What's going on over there?
We're having problems.
Frank got demoted to midnights to 2 a.m., and Limey doesn't know how to run the board anymore.
Josh
won't stop passing gas, and Dan tells bad jokes. Other than that, we're great.
I was listening earlier. And Frank, he had a call in from Las Vegas, bragging from Las Vegas. And then, God, he is so funny. You know, the average person is a 2 out of 10 dancing. Now, how the heck does he know that? How does he know that the average person? You know, he knows nothing. He knows that. But he says it with such conviction that you're like, oh, yeah, that's right, Frank. Okay, Frank, yeah. No, but I would think that, you know, wouldn't you think that the 40% of people can dance, and the ones that can't are really bad. Then you've got people that are like really bad, like me. Okay,
how good are you?
I'm not that good of a dancer.
How good?
Okay, no, I'm not that good. So I do think that I might have stepped a little bit on Mimi's toes on our dance on our wedding day.
Slow dance.
Yeah, so, you know, and I don't have, I'm thinking, might be like a 10 and a half, so it's not like I got, like, size 14s or something going over here. You know, but, and then he was like, he goes, I'm probably gonna be a 6 out of 10. Maybe even up to a 7 out of 10.
Well, we were talking about hockey superstitions earlier in the show, and Dan's got to wear the same shirt now because the Blues won while he won a shirt. Josh Bauman had to sell his tickets because he thinks they won't win if he's there in attendance. And the world all revolves around him, which it does to a certain degree. Do you have any superstitions when you see the Blues win that you will have to entail tomorrow night?
So, I'm super superstitious. And when it came to sports, you know, wearing the same stuff. And, you know, I won't go into detail, but, yeah, I'm very superstitious.
Where you sit or what you eat or what you drink or who you watch the game with or where you watch the game, and how superstitious?
Yeah, very superstitious. So, I am going to the game. Will be my first, playoff game of the year because, the Londoff boys, Johnny the Third, I don't know if it's possible, but he's a lot younger than me, but he's worse. We were like on Friday night, we're like our, Saturday morning, are you going to come to a dinner? We usually have dinners at the house every Sunday. Depends on the game. So it was going to be dependent if the Blues lost, which we knew they weren't, then he was like, he would not have been in a mood to be around, okay? So we all got together at our son Sam's house, the boys and a bunch of other buddies that are hockey players. So I was the old man there. They're in their, 20s and John III, 30, Johnny Lucas, 30, I think 31. But they all know hockey, you know, and it's just, like Sammy Blay, his play. Sorry, Aim of the PM crowd, I love you, but yes, if some of you are not into hockey, I'm sorry, but the play that number 9 made, you know, the play that, you know, if you go back and look at that play on the Blues website, you'll see that he starts it. He, open ice hit, just knocks one of the Dallas Stars on his keister, and that breaks up the puck. And then Ryan O'Reilly he lunges and tips it to him.
Right.
And then Sammy goes, first couple strides were really quick, and then he just, like, stalls.
I told Dan I'd never seen a guy take a slap shot on a breakaway before from the top of the circle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you just never crazy. See that.
You know, so we were all like, oh, my God. If he would have missed, the coach would have probably killed him, all right?
Right.
But in his interview, he goes, I saw an opening, and I'm very confident in my shot, and I saw an opening, and I just hit it. I'm like, I love this kid. I absolutely love him.
Now, I'm just curious. I'm just curious. That yesterday's game, you're closed on Sunday, right? Johnny Landoff Chevrolet's closed on Sunday, correct?
Well, of course.
Okay, now just curious. If the game had been Saturday at 2 o'clock instead of Sunday at 2 o'clock, do you like? Are the Blues a big enough thing where you would like downsize staff so they can all go watch the game, or is it just full sit around? I mean, do you get customer appearances during these games?
No, I mean, we have Pat Maroon as a spokesperson for us. I'm not going to detail, but there's so many Blues that are such loyal friends of Johnny Landoff Chevrolet.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Affleck, Bernie Perdurko, Larry Patey, Al McGinnis, Chris Pronger. When Chris was playing for Philadelphia, he came to St. Louis to pick up two vehicles from me.
Wow.
So, I mean, I'm blessed. I've met a lot of great Blues players. And, again, I think there's only one city that has more alumni, and that's Chicago. And what is it? 5 times larger than St. Louis?
Right. 6 times larger. A lot.
So, I mean, it's really hard to, but, you know, and it's not like they have, like, twice as many. I think there's 35, 36, 37, maybe 40, alumni that live in St. Louis. And some of them, they didn't finish their careers here, but they love this town, because they know that the fans of this town are just some of the most unbelievable hockey fans. And I just hope that we are so loud tomorrow night that the Dallas Stars, they get a little, all we got to do is get that first goal. But even if we don't, I still think it's our game. It's going to be Kelly Chase. I just had Jimmy Saffel text me, Kelly Chase. He's how can I forget Kelly Chase? He's like a brother.
Yeah.
You don't want to make Kelly mad. You don't want to get him upset. I did at a fantasy camp one time. TJ Oshie, who bought a couple of vehicles from us, he was a spokesperson for us. Fantasy camp. I'm like, hey, TJ's playing with our team on Saturday. Kelly's like, no, he's not. I'm like, yes, he is. We've been texting back and forth for 2 months. He's playing on our team. I got all my guys. They're pumping. He goes, no, he's on the red team. I said, what do you mean he's on the red team? He's on the red team. And he goes, and the kid doesn't have a say. And this is like his second year with the Blues, TJ.
Yeah.
God, and I'm in the hallway at the old Chesterfield Ice Rink right outside the Blues alumni locker room. And I knew better than to get in his face because, I had like one of those flashbacks, October flashbacks or something. Or, 2020 flashback, but I love Kelly Chase. I love them all. They're just great. There's nothing like, these hockey players. All athletes are super. They're good people. I mean, geez, Ozzie Smith, Cardinal baseball legend, just the unbelievable guy.
It's a 7 p.m. faceoff tomorrow night. At what point will you go from car man to hockey fan? What exact minute of the day tomorrow will you say, I am now
probably
Probably
when I'm a guy my age, I'm probably waking up at 4:35 o'clock to use the bathroom, I've watched that semi blade, I watched that goal. If I've watched it once, I've watched it 15 times just because it's just unbelievable play. Number 70, Oscar Sundquist, and how he grabbed the puck in the corner, and you look at his eyes are just like saucers, and he sees Perron, and Perron has a defender just all over him, and he got his stick. I mean, folks, I'm telling you what these guys do is unbelievable. It really is. The timing, the aspect of it, and just the whole play, just the slap shot for Parenko. And, he's been here a couple of times to visit. He's a great kid. God, but that slap shot, it looked like Benny Bishop got shot.
It was a boomer.
Do all these Canadian guys that buy vehicles from you, all these Canadian hockey players, they usually buy trucks? I mean, they're all big truck guys, right?
Yeah, trucks. Are you kidding me? Of course. Yeah, truck. Braden Shen, there's another great kid from Saskatchewan, eh? Yeah, I mean, they're just good people. And then when you see them, Bartuzzo's not playing now, but Robert's a great friend of ours. He's bought a truck. They just come right up to you and say hi,
Cool.
and shake your hand and be ready, because when they shake your hand, they're not trying to break your knuckles, but they all got a obviously a very good grip. But no, you know, this is you know, this is St. Louis Sports dealership, okay? You know, a buddy of mine from one of the finance sources a few years ago, he's from Detroit, and he came up here in a Red Wings jacket. And the Blues and the Red Wings were still in the same conference.
You push him down the steps?
And I'm like, I was stunned. I was stunned. I'm like, well, what, Kevin, what are you doing in Johnny Long Enough Chevrolet Blues country? And you got a Red Wings jacket on.
Yeah.
He goes, well, I thought that you'd be, you know, proud that I still support my home team. I'm like, no, I'm about to rip that jacket over your head. So, I mean, when I said, take your jacket off, he's like, well, no, I'm not. I'm like, take your jacket off or leave. Really? I'm like, I'm very serious. Take that Red Wings jacket tonight. You know, back in the day, let's face it, St. Louis Hockey Blues fans. Oh. We had so many good teams. Do I need to mention the Steve Yzerman shot?
When no.
We had,
no.
A great one on the same team with Brett Hull and Al McGinnis and Pronger. And some, I mean, just a, that was a great team.
It was.
The numbers are aligned tomorrow night, John. Tomorrow is the 7th. It's game 7, and number 7 is your spokesman. That's all I'm saying. That's all. I'm just saying that the 7s are aligned tomorrow night.
I mean, you know, you watch him. It takes two players to try to knock him off the puck.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves you know, that leaves a player for the Blues wide open. So he's a good kid. Now, he's a South County guy, okay? That's just how the way it is. I'm a North County guy. You know, hey, everyone who's listening from South County, don't take offense to this. We're just a little tougher, okay? In North County, we're just, we're all good.
I'm a South County guy.
We're all great St. Louisans, and I just read somewhere we're better together has been thrown to the burner, according to the St. Louis Business Journal. So I'll let you research that, Mr. News Guy, and we'll
go from there.
Well, give us your toughest North County sales pitch, tough guy, because I'm from South County. I want to see how good it is.
I'm a North County boy, too.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, just give us a call, 314-837-1800, 314-837-1800, 24/7, 365 at lawndop.com, and all the great deals on all the cars, trucks, vans, SUVs are online at lawndop.com.
Hey, John, before you get away, this is what Scott and I did on the yard sale on Saturday before the Blues played Sunday. We played this song because Scott is not a fan of Gloria. So he played this from the movie Slapshot. And they won. So I'm carrying on the tradition to play it the day before the 7th game. That's one of your favorite movies, isn't it?
John, this is the part where you say, Dan, what the hell are you talking about? Why'd you just play that song? This is the part where you say Dan, that.
Yeah.
Dan, what's the deal with you, man?
Gloria.
Come on. this is a song that the team plays.
Yeah, John. I know.
Yeah, Dan.
I know.
Okay.
Awful. All right. That's it.
John, thanks again for participating, and big luck to number 7, the Big Rig, in game 7 on the 7th tomorrow night. And even though he's from South County kid, maybe he'll be tough enough to squeak one in for us, huh?
All right, go Blues. And AM crowd, we're open late tonight. Come and visit.
Thank you, John.
Bye, John.
John Landoff from Johnny Landoff Chevrolet here at 39 After the Hour on 590 The Fan. Sitting in for Frank Opinion today, Tim Woodward, along with Trevor Limestone, Limey Phillips, and Dan Strauss. Josh Bauman is our tech guru. The segment is Tech Talk, and we appreciate the holders that the callers that held online during John's segment. And we have a line open, 855-282-8255, 855-282-TALK, or 314-821-0590. Mark, thanks for being patient. You're on with Josh Bauman's Tech Talk. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Great. Hey, I have a DVD. I have a video recorder that records on many DVDs.
Okay.
And it's, and on occasion, it will, if you're not paying attention, it does a countdown from, you know, how many minutes you have left of the DVD. It'll go say zero, and if you're not paying attention, when it gets to the end, it will shut off and it'll say disk error.
Okay.
Well, I did that one time and we're on vacation in Hawaii and it was the only DVD I had an entire trip. So I'm hoping I could retrieve some of that video off of that DVD if I could buy some software or something.
So you're saying the mini DVD and the camera, you can't access any of the video that's on that device now, right?
No. When you put it in, it says disk error. It will not run on a computer. It will not run on a DVD player.
So probably what's happened, if I had to guess, the camera did not close the session on the DVD and left it open. For DVDs to be read, the session has to be closed and kind of terminated. So the reader, when you put it in a reader, it knows, oh, okay, so here's my data. Quite honestly, your best bet is going to be likely visit one of the camera stores in St. Louis, like Creve-Coeur Camera or Schiller's, explain the situation to them and see if they can help you out. Those are probably going to be your go-to folks.
I actually don't live in St. Louis.
Ah, I would look for some sort of professional camera shop in your town or in your metropolitan area and explain the situation. Give them a call and explain the situation and see if they can help you out. The downside to this is those types of cameras, those mini DVD cameras are, they've been on the market for a while. I'm not real sure if they even sell them anymore. So that could be a downside, but it could be a good thing too that, you know, they've been on the market for a while, so they may know about this issue. Have you tried Googling it at all to see if anybody else has had the problem?
No. Well, I think at one time I tried to do that, but I didn't have much luck. I mean, it basically, you have to finalize it when you
right.
get done recording, and I wasn't able to finalize it because it says disk error on there.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet a shop that either did sell those or still does sell those would be able to help you out.
You don't know of any. You don't know of any software that would be able to finalize the disk?
I'd have to go digging. If you want to shoot me an email at joshtechadvice@gmail.com, I'll research it a little bit. I'll try and get on some forums and point you in a at least give you a couple of URLs that you can go dig around and read.
Did you try different brands of disks too?
Well, the problem is the data is already on the disk. He's yeah. got video from his honeymoon that he can't access because it wasn't finalized. Right, it wasn't finalized. Yeah. So.
Because I had that issue with different discs when I would record stuff before when
yeah.
you had to finalize them.
Yeah.
And I would put one disc in and it would let me finalize it, a completely different brand and everything else. So.
Yeah. Just send me an email with the make and model of the camera that you're using and I'll try Googling around and see what I can find out and help you out.
Okay. What was your email again?
Sure. JoshTechAdvice@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Mark, thank you very much. 43 after the hour. Josh Bauman, our guest, Tech Talk here on 590 The Fan, Lana. Did I get that right? Is it Lana or is it Lana?
It's Lana.
Lana. Did you ever see the movie Risky? Yes. You ever see the movie Risky Business with Tom Cruise?
I have.
You know who I'm talking about then, don't you?
I do.
Rebecca De Mornay played Lana on that movie, and she was a 10 on a 10 scale.
Yeah, well, I'm about a 2 on a good day. But
well,
that's
okay.
Right.
That's okay. Well, we accept 2s on the program. That's why Josh is here.
I got a face for radio, so does he. So, yeah, I just got a quick question.
Okay.
And it's got nothing to do with computers, but it's got to do with these St. Louis Blues.
Oh, I know who this is.
Uh oh. Well, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
How many Lanas do you know?
Not many Lanas.
Is she upset
not
you
didn't
give her your tickets?
No, she's a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. We go way back. Mm-hmm. Actually, a friend of my mom's from high school that mm-hmm. now lives in Dallas. And
yeah.
we have been kind of giving each other trouble on Facebook.
Right.
Yeah, we've been trash talking a little
yeah.
bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw today they're spelling it St. Louis BLOZE. Right?
Oh, the Blows. I like that. I like that.
You got to come up with something better, Lana.
Let me ask you a question, Lana. In Dallas, do you eat the crow raw, or do you, like, saute it? Or how's it served in Texas?
We actually don't eat crow down here. Uh-huh. We eat possum and armadillo. Right. And they're, yeah, they're best slow cooked. Like
overnight. She said armadillo.
Yeah.
She likes that armadillo. She likes that armadillo.
We have armadillos up here now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They moved up.
They're dead. Migrating.
They're dead though. Usually I see them on the road. They're dead.
Hey, listen. However this comes out, guys. It's been a great series, and I think it'll be a really good game.
Hey, Lana, so,
I'm going to be the bigger person and say that it could go either way, okay?
And make sure you post on Dallas coach Jim Montgomery's Twitter page where he can go golf on Wednesday, okay? So
he knows. Already got his tickets for the Byron Nelson. So. That's this weekend. They're not really worried. They got a place to golf.
That's this weekend. Lana, thank you for calling, and I loved you in Risky Business. You were really sexy, and loved your outfit there. I mean, I know you were.
Yeah, wait till you see the sequel.
Well, I mean, I know you were a prostitute in the movie. I hope that's not still the case, but you know that she was.
No, I give it away.
Okay. Oh. Can't rape the willing, right?
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right,
bye, Lana.
Thank you very much. See, now, what other tech show do you get that kind of entertainment? That's right. All I got to say. Guy is up next with Josh Bauman on Tech Talk on 590 The Fan. Hi, Guy.
Hi. My question is, first off, I'm AM and PM. I've got an Android phone, and I've got a Bluetooth, and I've got an old Bluetooth, then I switch back and forth. Well, when I switch it back and forth, I accidentally push forget button.
Oh.
And now it doesn't recognize it at all, even though I turn it off, turn it on. And is there any way to retrieve that so I can start using that Bluetooth back again on my Android phone?
Yeah, so you will have to put that device that you're trying to connect to back in learn mode. If you don't have the manual, you can probably do a Google search on the make and model, and it will tell you how to put it in learn mode or pair mode. That's how that device will broadcast its signal so that your phone can see it for the first time over again and connect to it, and then it will reconnect to it in the future.
Oh, okay. It's probably just holding the button down for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah, I've got the manual sitting around somewhere.
Yep, that's exactly right. It's power on and probably hold the button in for a couple seconds. That'll probably throw it in learn mode.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Guy.
Thanks, Guy.
Guy is off. A line is open, 855-282-8255. 855-282-TALK. Will is up next on 590 The Fan, Tech Talk with Josh Bauman. Hi, Will.
Bill.
Hey, how you doing, guys? AM and PM for long.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah. Hey, got a couple questions. One is, I haven't copied a DVD in a while, and I got the ISO image on my computer.
Okay.
And I went to try to copy it to a DVD, and it would not do it. Either I forgot or what. Is there a certain site I can go to get that procedure, how to do that?
Sure. So the easiest way to do it will probably be if you go to Google and you type in the Google search, if you type in burn ISO and then whatever operating system you're running. So if you're running Windows 10, type burn ISO Windows 10, or if it's on a Mac, do a search for burn ISO Mac OS, and you should come up. Some of the first hits you should get should be step-by-step process on how to burn an ISO or an ISO file to a DVD. Probably what you're running into is it's just copying the ISO as a file over to the DVD. Uh-huh. It's not actually burning the image. An ISO file is actually the image of the CD as a file. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to reburn that image of the CD to a new CD. So yeah, if you just Google how to burn ISO and then your operating system, one of the first responses that come back should be your answer pretty easily.
Okay. And also, is it possible to take a old router and move it? My house is pretty good size and I'm having some problems getting the signal to transmit on the third level.
Sure.
Can you use that as a
repeater?
Repeater access point. Is that any good, or should I try some other device?
Well, you technically can. It's possible, but you're probably going to have to do some work. The first requirement I would say would be, do you have a physical copper line running up to that third floor? if the answer is yes, you could plug that router in up there, make the same wireless name on that second router, the same password and everything, and it will broadcast upstairs. Your device should automatically connect to it. Now, with that said, that's not the best environment to run, because what will happen, say you're carrying your phone around, and on your main level, it works fine. You have good signal, and you're actually connected to the router in your basement or on the lower level, wherever it is. But when you go to your upper level, your phone won't automatically switch over to that other router. It's going to hold on. They call it being sticky. Your phone will actually stick to that original router. What the newer router systems out there, like Google Wi-Fi, and I think the other one's Ecobee, what they do is what's built into their software that they run. When they see a device being sticky and they know that the device has better signal off the second access point, the first access point will actually kick it off the network and make it associate to the second access point automatically in the background. You won't even notice it's doing it. You'll have no clue that it's done it. That's pretty much what enterprise-grade wireless networks do. Is you roam around a building or an office building, your device is being kicked off one access point and reassociating to another one. Just that's how it works. So, I mean, if you can do it the first way, it'll technically work, but it won't be the best experience.
Okay. All right, I got some of those wireless point deals where I hook it, runs to your electrical line.
Yeah.
And it picks up okay, but it's 30 to 40% speed of it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, sorry about that. And that's kind of the nature of that beast with those extenders and those routers that are the extenders that plug into your outlets and kind of use the power lines in your house as a network. That's not what that was made for. That's not what the power lines were made for. So it's not going to operate the same as having a physical Cat 5 or Cat 6 connection. If you do have a signal issue, it's worth your time. And depending on how old your main router is, it might be worth the money looking at like a Google Wi-Fi system or some other mesh networking system that's out on the market right now.
Okay, that's what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, the Google Wi-Fi, you're going to spend about $100 an AP. They sell them in single packs and they sell them in three packs. The three pack is a hair under $300. Hands down, it's the best router I've had in my house, and it's pretty close. The way it just kind of works, you know, it just magically works. It's pretty darn good.
Okay, I'll give it a try. I appreciate you guys' assistance, and you guys got a great show. Hope Frank is doing okay, and hope he sticks around for another 20 years.
Thank you, Will.
Right.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Will.
We have a line open, 855-282-8255. 855-282-TALK. Josh, I know you work for a school district.
Yes, sir.
As an IT, what's your title?
Director.
Director of IT. When I was in college, I typed papers the old-fashioned way. I had to go to the library. I'd do research. I'd use a typewriter. I eventually got an electric typewriter. We had the whiteout on there and the whole bit. Computers were just coming around in the early 90s when I was graduating from journalism school at Mizzou. My question is, how do teachers today, be it college, high school, elementary, junior high, how do they prevent the piracy and the fraud of students copying each other's work and just being able to basically hit cut and paste,
sure,
switch up a few words and say, hey, Bobby got an A on this paper at the Lindbergh School District, so Timmy's going to get an A on this paper in the Melville School District.
So,
how do IT professionals and teachers coordinate together to prevent that from happening at any level of education?
There are services. There are websites. The one that comes to the top of my head is called Turnitin, turnitin.com. Mm-hmm. Limey will likely have to turn in papers through Turnitin. We have some of our high school teachers that require their students to turn in, you know, big essays or research papers. They turn them in through turnitin.com.
What does that mean?
It is a service that reads through the paper and looks for plagiarism. It looks at known published documents and just kind of parses them out, and it will flag it if there's plagiarism in it. Now, it's not going to check the student-to-student plagiarism because obviously those papers haven't been published publicly.
Mm-hmm.
But most teachers are going to have to use their brain and say, you know, is this kind of an uncharacteristic document from a student that I have never seen him turn in anything like this in the past? Some of that stuff hasn't changed from when you and I were in school. The teacher still has to be somewhat of a detective, but there are services like Turnitin out there that will help with that.
Are there any exams that students take now that are still done by hand? Are they all done by computers in the classroom, or are they all hand graded? I mean, in the old days, when I had to write a paper for history class in high school, it was handwritten with handwriting on paper, and the teacher literally had to read through each one physically and then mark the grade on, as opposed to just being able to pull them up on a screen or whatever.
I would say our teachers are still reading through every research paper and essay and grading them based on the rubric, whether that's electronic or handwritten. Right now, we are not at our school. We don't mandate that, you know, final exams have to be done electronically or anything. That's up to the teacher's discretion, whether they give the test on paper and it's written, or if they give an assignment or a paper through the computer. That's completely up to them. Some stuff that's done electronically is graded in an instant. It cuts down on time being spent on grading quizzes and stuff. It's pretty fantastic to watch.
In your school district, teachers and students, all of them allowed to have Facebook pages and social media pages, or do schools mandate at what age a student can have a social online page, and do schools mandate what age a student can bring a phone into the school?
So, yeah, those are all really sticky questions. So based on Facebook and most social media terms of service and privacy policies, those pages and services are not built for kids under the age of 13. So if you read the terms of service, it will flat out say, if you're under the age of 13, you should not have an account on this page. Mm-hmm. The district, student devices in the district cannot get to social media while they're at school or at home. The Chromebook that I hand over to a kid at the beginning of the school year, they cannot get to social media on that device when they're at school or at home, because that's a district-owned device used for educational purposes only. Kids, you know, I know kids bring phones to school at the middle school and high school level. Whether or not, I don't think they're being told you can bring a phone to school. It's just going to happen. Middle school kids have phones. They bring them to school. High school kids have phones. They bring them to school. Parents say that's how they communicate with their kid throughout the day. It is a distraction to kids at times. Like right now, most schools in Missouri are going through the state standardized testing. Spring's when that test is given. By the rules of that test, they cannot have a phone in the classroom with them. They cannot have a smartwatch on them at any time during that test. So all that stuff has to stay in the locker while these tests are being administered. Technology definitely introduces some really cool stuff in the classroom, but man, it introduces some crazy distractions
and
as well.
And not to bring this up, but you know, there have been so many school shootings in this country in the last several years. What about the security of facial recognition to get into the school, or what other type of measures are being commonplace? And does somebody like you get involved with that?
Oh, yeah. So we aren't doing facial recognition. I know there are a couple of school districts in St. Louis County that are doing the facial recognition, and the door will automatically unlock if they've been to the school once and have been approved as a visitor. Some school districts down by us in Jeff County, they're implementing a system called Raptor. What that system is they
love dinosaurs.
They they take the driver's license from the visitor. They scan it. When they scan it, it more or less does like a mini background check from, I assume, similar to what you're doing, Tim. And it tells them if there's any outstanding warrants, if they're a child predator, have any major offenses. If they do, it alerts the authorities right away, alerts the building administration, the district administration. So immediately cops are notified and they show up and take care of the situation. It's all of our doors are locked. We manage the door lock system, the security camera systems. It's pretty crazy.
And real quick, I have something. Someone called in and said that they went back to school. They're at a university, and that Turnitin does have software in there that will compare to other
Turnitin papers.
Turnitin papers. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Josh, it's been great to have you on. We have about 30 seconds to tell the people who you are and how they can get in touch with you.
You can email me at joshtechadvice@gmail.com, and I do my best to reply to those emails as quickly as possible.
All right.
And he's brought to you by Window World.
Yes.
Yes.
Maestro the music, please.
I don't have goodbye music.
We don't have goodbye music?
No, he never gets goodbye music. Oh, he just says,
I'm Josh, the tech guy. It's time to say bye.
And there we go. Places.
It's coming up on 5 o'clock here on 590 The Fan. Bill Clevel will be joining us from North Carolina, and we're going to have a rematch of the joke-off that Bill won in the 5 o'clock hour about a month ago when I hosted the show. So stick around for that. We'll have some fun. It is 5 o'clock on 590 The Fan.
This is Tim McKernan. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. The Democratic-controlled House Judiciary Committee has scheduled a vote for Wednesday to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt of Congress. Mike Bauer reports.
The Justice Department declined to provide an unredacted version of the Mueller report to Congress this morning as requested by House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler, who Friday sent a letter to the Attorney General with a new offer to narrow and prioritize the scope of the evidence that the Justice Department would turn over. Now Nadler is scheduling a vote for Wednesday to hold the Attorney General in contempt, which marks the first time that the House Democrats are moving to punish a Trump administration official for defying a congressional subpoena, and it represents a dramatic escalation in tensions between Democrats and the White House at a very sensitive time.
The U.S. is deploying a carrier strike group and bombers to the Middle